One day, Satan called all of his demons together for a meeting on how to hinder a Christian's life from being effective and productive for the kingdom of God. Well, Satan told his demons to go out and do whatever they could do to get Christians to sin. Satan knew that if he and his demons could get Christians to go back to sinning again, he could prevent them from being effective and productive Christians. And so after several months, Satan and his demons all came back together again to see how things were going with this plan. And a few of the demons reported that they had had some degree of success. But there were a great deal of demons that said they had very little success in getting the Christians to go back into their sinful lifestyles. And so Satan knew that he needed to come up with a plan B. Satan knew that he had to do something. He had to do something else to keep Christians from being effective and productive for the kingdom of God. So Satan's plan B was to get Christians to become discouraged, because then they would just want to give up. Well, Satan and his demons, they had some success with discouragement, but they needed something else to prevent Christians from becoming productive and effective. So, after a few moments, he said to his demons, he said, I've got it. We need to come up with ways to keep Christians busy. Well, one of the demons said, what do you mean keep them busy? Busy Christians are bad for us, aren't they? To which Satan replied, No. If we can keep them on the go, we can keep them from thinking about God. If we can keep them busy, they won't have time for things like prayer and reading their Bible, or time to fellowship with other Christians. They might have a relationship with Jesus, but it won't be very strong if we can just keep them busy. So the demon said, well, that sounds like a good ideal, but how are we going to keep them busy? Well, Satan said, don't mess with their Sunday mornings. Let them go to church. I mean, after all, there's 168 hours in a week. And if they only spend 1 or 2 hours a week in church, that'll have them feeling good enough. And he goes on, he says, listen, guys, our goal is to keep them busy with the non-essentials during the other 166 hours of the week. We need to keep them busy enough so that at the end of the day, they'll be so exhausted that all they're going to do is finally just sit down and rest, maybe turn on the TV for a few moments, or just go to sleep. And he tells them, he says, now the key to keep them busy doing things that they think are good things, we need to be able to make them think that the unimportant things are actually important things. So here's the deal, folks. If Satan cannot make you a bad Christian, if he can't make you a discouraged Christian, he will work at making you a busy Christian. I mean, how many times do we hear people talk about how busy they are? Oh, I'm so busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. How many times do we talk about how busy we are? This morning, we're going to take a break from the book of 1 Peter, and we're going to talk about the subject of time. One of my side studies I've been doing for the last several weeks is on the study of self-discipline, and specifically on the topic of being a better steward of the time I have. And so it's sort of a timely message for myself. Time is something we all have, but it is something that most of us fail to understand, at least from God's viewpoint. And as humans, we have a tendency to waste things that we don't understand. And so today, I want to give you a better understanding of time from God's perspective. And so, what is time? Well, Webster's used to define time as things like the duration of all existence, past, present, and future. Webster's defined it as a period of or periods. They define time to be an age or an era. And even though there's nothing wrong with Webster's definition of time, God sees time to be more than what Webster sees it to be. God sees time in a way that we just don't commonly think of. Let me give you four of God's viewpoints on time. First of all, God sees time as something that He created. How many times do we think God created time? Numerous times in the Bible, God is referred to as being eternal or everlasting, which obviously means He has no beginning, He has no end. Because as humans, we've always lived within a time frame, timelessness is beyond our comprehension. Everything we do is done within a period of time. But God lived before there was ever any such thing as time. But yet the Bible says that time actually had a beginning. It says the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. You guys have read it. Good. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of time. Time had a beginning, and God is the one that began time. God created time. And so that raises another question. Who did God create time for? And the answer is Himself. Isn't that something? God did not create time for us. He created it for Himself. Listen to this verse from Colossians 1:16. We actually read it in Sunday school this morning. Thanks, Bruce. Colossians 1:16. Thousands of verses in the Bible, and we're going to repeat one. Never know where it's, you know, God just works in weird ways. Okay. Colossians 1:16 says, all things were created by Him and for Him. When we think of time as something God created for Himself, it can really kind of be annoying to us that like to go around and say, well, this is my time. Let me add something here. We hear people say things like, man, there is not enough time in the day to get everything done I need to do. We hear people say, you know, I need 30 hours in my day to get done all this stuff I need to get done. But you know something? According to God, that is not true at all. Because Scripture says that after God created everything, and that includes time, it says in Genesis 1:31 that God saw all that He made and it was very good. See, you guys have read this stuff. And since one of God's characteristics is that He's omniscient, meaning that He knows all things past, present, and future, He was able to look ahead into 2016 and determine that 24 hours in a day was exactly all the time each one of us would need to do all the things we need to do. And so those who think they do not have enough time in a day to get everything done that they need to do, they are essentially saying that God messed up on His calculations. Believe it or not, and I know some people are going to disagree with this, that's okay. But the amount of time we have is never the problem. It's how we organize our time. It's how we use our time that is the problem. And so busy people don't need more time in their day. They just simply know how to use the time. They need to learn how to use the time they already have. it's sort of like people that have consistent money problems. Typically, people with money problems just don't need more money. They just need to understand how to use the money they already have. Now, if God created time, then he can also end time. And folks, that's exactly what he will do in the future. And that takes me to our next viewpoint, or next line of God's viewpoint on time. And that is, time is, in God's viewpoint, temporary. Time is temporary in two ways. First of all, it's temporary in the sense that one day all time will come to an end and we will enter into eternity. There is a time in the future when there will be no more darkness for Christians and there will be no more daylight for unbelievers. There is a time in the future where we will no longer need watches, clocks, calendars, daily timers, and all that stuff. Everyone will one day step into eternity and no longer be bound by time. You won't be able to show up early. You won't be able to be late. There'll be no such thing as Henneman time, Knox time. Jimmy won't come in on Wednesdays and won't know why we're starting late, because at that time you can't be late or you can't be early. Secondly, time is temporary in the sense that each one of us only has so many days that we will live here on earth before our time runs out. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 2, it says there is a time to be born and a time to die. See, you guys, man, I don't even know why I bring verses into this. You guys already know them. Psalm 39, 5, David says to God, he says, "You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." James 4:14, he compares our lifespan to be a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Sometimes we live as if we have many, many, many years ahead of us. But God can just unplug our clock at any time, and our time will be no more. We think if we live to see 80, 90 years of age that we lived a good long life. But God says in comparison to Him, our lives are here today and gone tomorrow. Which takes me to another one of God's viewpoints on time. God sees the time that we do have here on earth to be a gift from Him to us. God gives us the time we have. He gives each one of us 24 hours in a day. He gives each one of us 168 hours in a week. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter what your level of importance is. It doesn't matter what your physical abilities is. It does not matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter whether you're a male or a female, or you don't know which one you are today, we all get 24 hours in a day. See, you and me, nor anyone else, can produce any more time than we already have. Man has invented all types of impressive things through the years. We talk about this in Sunday school. Isn't that amazing? Man has invented all kinds of impressive things over the years, and as smart as man is, and out of all the things man has ever created, no man has ever been able to invent more time. You can't go to the bank and get a loan for time. You can't go to Walmart and buy time. Whatever time you have, whatever time you've been given in the past, was a gift from God. Whatever time you have coming in the future will be a gift from God. Every moment of every day you are here on earth is a gift from God. That takes me to one more of God's viewpoints on time. We are called to be good stewards or good managers of the time God gives us. See, we have to understand that God created time. Therefore, He has the right to set the guidelines or the principles of how we spend our time. I want to reread for you a verse I read a moment ago, Colossians 1:16. All things were created by Him and for Him. Within that all things category, that's you and me. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, folks, this may sound a little far-fetched, but I believe it fits within the confines of Scripture and how our schedule is to be laid out. God has laid out His will, His desires, His commands, His instructions, and His principles within His Word. And when we follow them, we are being good stewards of the time that God has given us. Now, God has given us the freedom to do whatever we want to do with the time that He gives us. And as a result, we can end up being productive or non-productive with our time. But let me say something here. Many times people have a tendency to think that God wants them to spend all their time in religious activities. But God doesn't have a problem with us partaking in things that fall under categories like recreation and entertainment and hobbies and vacations and work and chores around the house. God is okay with those things. The problem is, though, when we make those things come first. See, within the framework of God's Word, He calls us to be about doing the things that have heavenly and eternal value to them. Those things would be considered primary things that we are called to do with our gift of time. But He also calls us to do some things that have temporary value to them. Those things will be considered secondary things we are to do with our time. But what happens is that many times we get so caught up in the secondary things that we fail to get the primary things in. So I want to do a little illustration. I'm not good at these things, so stick with me. 4.5 years of being here, this is only my second one. The rocks you see on the table, they represent them primary things that we should be doing from God's perspective. In these milk jugs is sand. The sand represents the secondary things we should be doing in our lives. Primary things would be things like prayer, it'd be things like reading the Bible, going to church, telling others about Jesus, spending time with your family. Those are primary things. Those are your rocks. The sand represents things like chores around the house, playing sports, watching sports, you having your kids in sports, watching TV, playing on the computer, spending time on Facebook and Twitter and sleeping in late and going out to eat and doing your hobbies. These things here, I don't know what you want to call them, but we're going to say they represent 24 hours. Now, I didn't come up with this illustration, so if you've seen it before, that's your doing. I read it somewhere years ago, and that's how I remember it. By all means, we should get the primary things out of the way each day. Whatever those primary things are, we need to get them out of the way. And then we should begin. Now, I know there'll be a little dust here. Don't worry about it. It won't kill anybody. Then we can start getting the secondary things in to our 24 hours in a day. I'll do this. I went over to Lake Hope and got this. I'm kidding. I wouldn't use Lake Hope sand. We're getting there, guys. Remember, it's 24 hours a day. This takes a while. I'm trying to make this not messy. It's not that funny when you get down to it. especially if you're the one doing it. When you get the primary things out of the way, then you get your secondary things out, then it all fits within your 24 hours, right? But what happens is we get so busy on all the minor things, the secondary things, so we get all the little secondary things out of the way. Then we try to fit the primary things in. And you can't get it all in a 24-hour day. The end result is that when we fail to get the primary things out of the way each day, we fail in our relationship with God. We fail to grow in our relationship with God because we fail to use the time God gave us in ways that He's instructed us to use it. So let me ask you something. Is your day filled more with sand things or rock things? Or do you get the rocks in your day before you add the sand? So let's look at this from a different perspective. Every day, God gives you and me 1,440 minutes to spend however we want to. Now, let's take those 1,440 minutes and let's make them dollars. Every day, you're given $1,440 to spend however you want to. If Dory's here, she just threw an amen out there. But there's a couple catches to this $1,440 you get every day. Once you spend it, you never get any of it back because it's gone forever. Secondly, you have to spend it. You cannot lay any of that aside into a savings to carry over to the next day. And thirdly, you have no guarantee how long you're going to receive the $1,440. Today may be your last day to get it. How would you spend that money? Would you make sure that you had groceries and clothes and that your bills are paid and then go shopping with the leftover? Or would you go shopping first and then whatever you got left you put on groceries and bills? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. Anyone that would go shopping first would be considered a fool, wouldn't they? Folks, how we spend our time speaks volumes about the priorities in our lives. The way we spend our time says whether or not we're more concerned about working and building God's kingdom or we're more concerned about working and building our kingdom. Every day we stand at a fork in the road. When we say yes to one thing, we are in essence saying no to something else. When we go through the day saying yes to the sand things in our lives, we are actually saying no to the rock things in our lives. And Satan loves for our days to be filled with sand. You would think in reality, me and the deacons talked about this a couple weeks ago, you would think in reality, due to today's modern technology, that we should have far more leisure time on our hands than any time in the history of the world. We've got vehicles to go places. We've got planes to fly around the world. We've got telephones, cell phones. We've got emails, messengers, and texts. And we've got next day mail delivery. We've got washers and dryers. We've got microwaves. We've got drive-thrus. We've got tools for every job. And the list goes on and on and on. We should have more leisure time today than any time in history, yet we're probably the busiest generation in the history of the world. So let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, if you was to sit down and write out your schedule for the next week, or sit down and write out your schedule for the next month, and God also sat down and wrote out your schedule for the next week or the next month, how well would they line up? Would they pretty much look the same, or would they be quite different? Secondly, If you was to sit down and write out everything that you feel you need to do over the next 7 days, and then estimated how much time it would take you to do them, would it total more than 168 hours that you have in the upcoming week? Did you know that if God wrote your schedule for the next day, it would take exactly 24 hours to carry it out? Did you know if God wrote your schedule for the next week, it would take exactly 168 hours to carry it out? Did you know if God wrote your schedule out for the next year, it would take exactly 8,760 hours to carry it out? Why? Because God will never call you or myself to do more than what we can do within a 24-hour period. What we fail to understand a lot of times is that God has never called us to be busy Christians. He has called us to be effective, efficient, and productive Christians. Here's the difference. Busy Christians take the time to do God's priority things whenever they find time. Effective and efficient Christians make the time to do God's priority things even if their schedule is already full. See, if Christians will not make sacrifices to spend time with the Lord, they won't make sacrifices to serve the Lord. I read in a book several years ago that if you don't control your time, somebody else will. That someone might be a friend, it might be a neighbor, it might be your employer, Satan and his demons. If you don't control your time, somebody else will. If Satan cannot make you a bad Christian, if he cannot make you a discouraged Christian, he will make you a busy one. Let me close with this as we get ready to sing our final song. And I want to close this morning with a verse that I mentioned earlier. And it's Ecclesiastes 3:2. There is a time to be born and a time to die. There's some irony to that. The irony is this: we don't have control over either one of those things. You and I didn't get to choose when we was going to be born, and you and I don't get to choose what time we're going to die. But what we do get to choose is how we're going to live between that birth and that death. And we get to choose where we will spend eternity after our death. And one more thing that goes with that is we have a limited amount of time to make those decisions. And so I guess my question is, have you made that decision? Have you come to that time in your life where it's time you give your life to Christ? It's funny because Scripture says today is the day of salvation. Nowhere does it ever say tomorrow is the day of salvation. Maybe you're already a born-again believer, a saved person, you're on your way to heaven, whatever. But maybe you just need to get your time prioritized. One of the reasons I've been studying this as a side study was because I realized I was starting to do more secondary than primary. I was realizing that at the end of the day, there were some primary things I didn't get in. And so mine was kind of like in rocks. It's kind of hanging over the 24-hour limit. And I don't have a right any more than you do to abuse how I use my time. And so I want to encourage you that maybe even challenge you to consider what the primary things are, what these rocks are in your life. and get these out of the way first before you go pouring the secondary into it. So I just ask you, are you making the best use, not of your time, but are you making the best use of the time God's gave you? And I would say that we may say yes to that today and no tomorrow and yes Tuesday and no Wednesday. It's all over the place. None of us have mastered the use of the gift of time that God's given us, but it is absolutely something we should be working on. One of the adjustments I made recently was, I don't know about how many of you guys have a TV in your bedroom, but a lot of times at night you just want to go to bed, turn on the TV and fall asleep to it. I'm going to be honest with you, it's just a waste of time. You can lay there and watch TV for 30 minutes. You can read something worthwhile and get something of value out of it. You know what I'm saying? And another thing I've done is to keep from distractions. When I'm reading in the morning, was I've been going over here to the park at the picnic shelter. I don't have any disturbances over there, typically, unless you get there right after they empty the garbage can and they stir the bees up. That can cause problems. But typically, you know, it's just making some minor adjustments where I can stay more focused and be on track with what I think God's got for me for that day. I don't know, those little things. I'm not trying to pick on the deacons or belittle them, but there are times every month when we come together, I or one of them will say, hey, what have you been reading? And sometimes I or the deacons, we don't have an answer, and that's sad because we hadn't even met in a month. And if we can't find that time, how can we expect you guys to find that time? We got to set an example. And just to be straightforward, there is not a single excuse how you can come together once a month and can't figure out what you've been reading. I just want to throw it out there. It's not your time. I hate to tell you that. It's God's time. It's His gift to you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before You this morning, Lord. We love You. We thank You. I don't know who got what out of this message, but what I do know is I needed this message. It's something You've laid on my heart for a while to readjust what I do and when I do it and how I do it. And Lord, I bring all of us up to You. Our time is a gift from You. We don't have a right to misuse it, abuse it. Time is one of those things that every minute we burn up, we will never get it back. And so, Lord, I just lift that up to You, that we would become better and better stewards of the time You've given us. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Christ's name, amen.